C.
I just think that we got outplayed in some areas and started to panic a little bit. Did some things that are uncharacteristic. And when you can learn to, when things are not going well, to settle down and just take a breath and go back to your technique, then you have a chance. A lot of our players are, you know, are not doing that at the level I need to get them to do it. So that's on me.
Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Happy Panther Monday. We're going to continue panthering up here. I do think there's a fair question to ask about yesterday's loss, specific to that game and one player's performance. We'll get to that coming up in 20 minutes. And so much more in the final hour of the show. Of course, KB coming up in about an hour. We'll see what he has to say about the Panthers' seventh loss in 9 games. I am not where some of the fan base was after yesterday's game.
Calling for his head.
Yes. And you and I started to get into those waters yesterday. And the reality is this is going to be a conversation from here on out until they win again or until they win enough with Matt Rhule. The honeymoon has been over for Matt Rhule for a minute. For some people, it ended the second they treated Cam the way they did the first time. For other people, yesterday was the end date on the honeymoon for the Carolina Panthers. Carry the 28 games into the Matt Rhule era.
Yes, he's 10-18 as a head coach.
But I can't get over this truth that I said earlier. Matt Rhule, all of last year, this Panthers team had 3 10-point or more losses in his first season. In the last 6 weeks, they have 3 10-point or more losses. That's startling. And I know you said earlier, well, a loss is a loss is a loss. No. There's a huge, for me, I should say, there's a huge difference between where we're committing a penalty too many and losing games. We don't have enough talent. Well, that was a big thing last year. You didn't have enough talent to win some of those games. This team is beating themselves. And that ultimately boils back on coaching. And for the guy whose mantra is don't beat ourselves, for the guy who's supposed to be different from one day or who isn't supposed to be different from one day to the next here in Carolina, his teams have panicked. They panicked against Dallas. They panicked late against Philadelphia. They've panicked here with the way that they got punched in the mouth yesterday by Miami and didn't have a retort to it. They're playing their worst football as everybody else is starting to play their best football. And it all comes back to leadership and coaching. And that means we got to start to have some pretty strong opinions on Matt Rhule, whether he should get a third year or not.
So let me separate, for the sake of this part of the conversation, Matt Rhule, the 51% minimum control over the roster, and Matt Rhule, the guy with the big headset on Sundays. I just mentioned Matt Rhule, 10-18 through 28 games. That's 35.7% win percentage. I currently have on the screen every active head coach in the league. There are 5 coaches with a worse winning percentage than Matt Rhule right now. 3 of them are in their first year. 1 is in the second year, just like Matt Rhule. And Zach Taylor in Cincinnati is in his 3rd year, but they don't have a franchise quarterback problem. And they've strung together, what, 3 wins now? Cincinnati, they're going to be fine. Why isn't our dude up here with some of these other people?
Here's another way to look at it. Let's not look any further than the team that they played yesterday. Miami, after winning the first game of the season against New England,
they lost 6 or 7 in a row.
They lost seven in a row.
Yeah. And now they've won 4 in a row.
They've won 4 straight. So those 4 wins are proof, both in how Tua has looked. Tua has looked much better the last 4 weeks with how the defense has started to come around. You've seen definitive proof that Brian Flores looked at those 7 losses and said, here are the 5 things that we're doing wrong, and fixed at least 2 of those 5 things. Specifically, the defense tightened up, and Tua, the way they've used Tua and the way they've gotten Tua and Jalen Waddle in sync with each other has changed that offense, has given them a big play component to that offense, despite the fact that Tua is not a guy that's going to throw the ball down the field the way Patrick Mahomes does.
With an offensive line that is technically rated worse than the Carolina Panthers.
I think my biggest concern is not just that the Panthers are losing and half the time over the last 6 weeks they've been non-competitive. It's where are the fixes? Let's think about the fixes. The fixes have all been external. J.C. Horn gets hurt for most of the season. Well, you trade for C.J. Henderson, and then you trade for Stephon Gilmore, right? Sam Darnold reveals himself to be the slappiest of all slappies. Well, can we go to the backup quarterback? Well, apparently you don't trust him that much because you went to Cam Newton. Of the on-the-field fixes, the Panthers have been reactive, right, with the offensive line. They never went to, early in the season when the offensive line was struggling, they never went to Deontay Brown before he went on IR. Mm-hmm. They have only went to Brady Christensen when somebody's gotten hurt. When somebody has been not just unplayable, but the 1% of unplayable. Right? Like yesterday, what was the fix yesterday? You didn't start Derrick Brown? He still played.
You deactivated Terrace Marshall Jr.
For a gunner?
On special teams, yeah.
I guess my point is, I don't want to come to the conclusion that Matt Rhule is a slappy. Because I believe Matt Rhule. I'm going to go back to this again. Because sometimes we get into this and it sounds personal. Right? It sounds like I have a personal vendetta against Matt, or you might, or the station might. No, that's not what the case is. I'm trying to decipher whether Matt Rhule can coach on Sundays.
That's what it is for me. And I'm evaluating him compared to dudes that are in comparable positions on Sunday. Mike McCarthy at Dallas beat him. Nick Sirianni, year one, came here, beat him. On the road, Joe Judge, in year two, just like Matt Rhule this year, destroyed him. Belichick brought a rookie in here, destroyed. At Washington comes in with Taylor Heineke, and we know what happens yesterday.
Well, and you and I said this after the Washington loss, that this part of the season can become a slippery slope really quickly.
No doubt.
And we talked about the importance of a win against Miami. Now, all of a sudden, we've gone from Miami as a must win to now you coming off the bye. If you don't beat Atlanta,
the team's going to shut down
at home.
No.
And you've got two games against Tampa, one of which is on the road, Buffalo on the road, and New Orleans on the road to finish out the season. There's no reason to believe the Panthers will win a game again if they can't get a win out of the bye.
Nick, and I want the listening public to understand, I'm about to tell you something. I don't know if you've heard this from other players or not, but this is the absolute truth. This team dropped this against Atlanta, and they know they got to go to Buffalo on December 19th. Dudes are going to start thinking about Christmas vacation with the family, and they're going to start getting movers and getting things in order to have the car shipped to where they really live, Texas, Florida, these other places. California, dudes are going to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some might say, well, Stan, they didn't do that last year. They fought like hell versus Green Bay at Green Bay in very frigid conditions, and they eventually won the Washington game that many didn't want them to win, which made things life difficult for Ron Rivera, even though his team still got into the playoffs. But now we're in year two.
Mm-hmm. And I also will say this team has not shown the same heart that last year's team showed.
This is a different team. Think about how many close games it was a year ago. So I don't know what Matt Rhule, the silver lining or the silver bullet, better yet, that doesn't exist. You and I talked after the trade deadline. You said, Fleet, what are they going to do? I said, there's nothing they can do. The Cam Newton was something that I didn't think that they would humble themselves enough, and Cam had to meet them halfway. Okay, I didn't foresee that. Cool. There's not another one of those moves. Like, the offensive line is what it is. Maybe Cam Irvin gets healthy.
Ooh.
Okay.
Cam Irvin coming out of the Willis Reed Tunnel to save the season.
The starting left tackle returns. Maybe Cam Newton gets the playbook down. He feels more comfortable. By week of practice, you know how Cam feels about playing the Falcons. Motivated. He does his thing over at the bank. But more likely, and I think we all know that, and that's what the text line is reflective of, we all know the truth. And if you're being really honest, even if you're the most Panther of Panther fan, to be honest, how does it feel? when you think about the dots that Nick and I connect in the other shows here every day, how does it feel? Does it feel right? It really doesn't. And there are going to be some people that are uncomfortable addressing that it doesn't feel right. Last one, I come to you. There's a difference in being able to coach, and then there's a difference in being able to lead men on Sunday. Matt Rule can coach football.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Brady, Phil Snow, they can coach football. But on this team right now, in this situation, dudes are not buying what they're selling.
704-570-9610. We're just going to ask you flat out, do you think Matt Rule is a slappy? Because I'm trying to come up with reasons that he isn't.
Because they're a half game out from a wild card spot. That's the only reason.
Well, and the only reason that is because they started 3-0.
By beating other slappies.
Well, but like, they're 7-9. That's who they are. The fact that they're 5-7, that's not really indicative of who they are. Losing 7-9 is a lot more telling than you got lucky and won 3 straight games to start the season. And I think my biggest problem here is, we're having a conversation in the back. And I don't want to paraphrase their words in a way, so I'll let them have this take, so I'll leave the name out of it. But someone in the staff said, well, you can't do anything if Dave Tepper is the problem. I would say pretty much the same thing about Matt Rule. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If Matt Rule can't get those guys to stop making penalties. As bad as Cam was on Sunday, that's something we'll get to. Cam didn't make 7 penalties. As bad as Cam was, he didn't have the inexcusable penalty by Hassan Reddick.
He didn't get a punt blocked.
He didn't have the punt block.
He didn't block
himself.
Yeah, he wasn't outflanked on a damn wildcat run.
And so everything, while quarterback has been a problem, and the offensive line, and Scott Fitterer does have to at some point answer for whatever the hell they tried to pull at quarterback and offensive line this year.
No chance we hear from them before the end of the season.
But those aren't the reasons they're uncompetitive. They've been non-competitive in 3 of the last 6 weeks because everything isn't aligned over there. And that ties back to coaching.
Some people will tell me, well, Stan, here's the record of Matt Rule versus Ron Rivera. Here's the difference. Matt Rule versus John Fox. Matt Rule versus these other dudes. All the other dudes that we would measure Matt Rule up against have either played and, more importantly, coached and coordinated in the league before. And those other dudes, when they took over the spot, had other dudes with them that had coached, coordinated, or been the head guy in the league before. Matt Rule's over there dolo, meaning it's just him. Yes, Scott Fitterer can be influential. Yes, Matt Rule has a cell phone, and he can get Jimmy Johnson and those guys on the phone. The players don't give a damn about Jimmy Johnson.
Also, here's another key point. I mentioned that 10 point or more losses for Matt Rule. 3 last year, all of last year, 3 in the last 6 weeks this year. Ron Rivera, his first year, Carolina, he had 4 games where they lost by 10 or more points. Second season, 2.
Cut it in half. Okay.
They halved it. That's progress. Cam Newton showed progress.
Year 1, year 2. Yeah, no doubt about
that. That defense showed progress. Individual other offensive players, that's as far as I'll go. They showed progress. Where's the progress? I'll be honest with you guys. DJ Moore played like bleep on Sunday outside of the big play.
Carolina Panthers are among the league leaders in drops.
And that's one example. DJ's one of your best players. There's a regression. The defense is their most talented unit. The defensive line is literally your most talented unit of any position group on this roster.
They've
regressed.
They have. The defense has allowed 60 points over the last 2 weeks. And for teams in the 2021 Carolina Panthers, teams that have 91-plus rushing yards and 22-plus rushing attempts, the Panthers are 0-7. That's not 130. That's not 190. That's 91 rush yards and 22 carries. They can't win.
704-570-9610. Are you leaning towards Matt Rule being a slappy here? Bob Welsh has been waiting online here for a minute. Wanted to get to you, Bob. What do you have, buddy?
Hey, Nick and Sam. Thanks for taking the call. It's good to meet you guys at the doghouse last week.
Oh, likewise, Bob.
Good man, Bob.
Yeah. Chalk brothers. Not really. You guys have been spot on all day. Nick, you and I talked about it Thursday, coaching. Look, consistently having penalties across numerous players every stinking game. Yes, they're the Jimmies and the Joes, and they're responsible for it. But at some point, coaches have to establish guidelines that have expectations so that that stops happening. Like what you guys have been talking about, wish you could be talking about socks in bed and the best place to shop in the grocery store, but I'll shut up and listen.
All right, Bob, we appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Bob.
I mean, I do think it just gets back to here's another way to put this, because the calling Matt Rhule slappy thing, obviously people can get touchy about that. Do we think Matt Rhule has buy-in in that locker room? Because guys say the right things, but they've accrued a locker room full of guys who are going to say the right things. I can only go by what are the things that are coachable. That's penalties. The last five games, they're the worst team in the NFL. They're tied for the worst team in the NFL, averaging over seven penalties a game. Third down has been a problem since Matt Rhule got here.
Third quarter.
And then when we get to individual talent, which is the thing we fell back on last year, we can't even do that because everybody seems to have regressed, including your best players.
And you can't keep telling me Christian McCaffrey, to your point. 3-5 is the record with McCaffrey this year. McCaffrey over the last 2 years on the field, start and finish a game, 3-5.
Do you think Matt Rhule still has buy-in? Let's continue on with this. We'll also we'll get to Josh, who's calling in here, and we'll also get into doling out the blame specific to yesterday. That's next on Sports Radio FNZ.
Newton looks over, receivers left. And one to the right, has room, has time to throw, and it's intercepted again. Picked off, Howard, the 15, the 10-yard line. Howard racked up at the 9.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick and Stan, that was one of two Cam Newton interceptions yesterday, courtesy of the Panthers Radio Network. And as we ask the question on how much we should be doubting Matt Rhule, after, carry the two, this is really tough, 28 games as Panthers head coach, and we're going to continue to ask that question all week long. I thought you asked a really good question in our pre-show meeting when we were talking about this game. It is, because, and it basically, it ended up being how much of Sunday's loss was on Cam. And the reason why I think that's a good question is, I think you can make the statement that that was maybe Cam's worst performance as a Panther. And they were still, and a bulk of that badness came in the first half. And they were still down only 11 points
in
at the half. And they still, like, even when they were down 27-10.
Yeah.
They still had
three possessions
in
the third quarter. Yeah,
they still had a quarter and a half to find their way back into it. I thought it was poetic that the first thing that happened when P.J. Walker came out of the field was that he threw an interception.
Well, he got sacked off the rip.
That's true. He got sacked, and it was, I mean, not just a sack. He got bopped off the edge. And then, like, three plays later was the interception. That wasn't to discredit P.J., by the way. That was more to point out, like, was the quarterback play yesterday absolutely abhorrent for the Carolina Panthers? Yes. I still don't know I'm ready to give all that loss to Cam Newton. I don't even know I'm ready to give most of that loss to Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm not there. So here's the way I look at it. I remember how bad the Carolina Panthers looked on offense. I repeat, Sam Darnold threw three consecutive interceptions and back-to-back. He did it twice. 3-1 time, 2 to, versus Dallas, as y'all will remember. I'm old enough to remember when the Carolina Panthers did not score an offensive touchdown, they scored one in three consecutive games prior to Sam Darnold getting hurt and benched. So I remember how bad it's looked. I don't expect Cam in less than 3 weeks to come in here and be Tom Brady. What I did expect is for Cam to come in here and do what he's done, Nick. Six touchdowns to two turnovers.
I'll also go back to this because it was absolutely predictable that certain people were going to come out of the woodwork because Cam Newton had, and I'm not going to defend. It was an awful game by Cam.
I put the second interception I thought was, you can't allow Xavier Howard to run the route with the dude. He undercuts it. You can't do that.
Well, listen, the turnovers are one thing.
He missed a lot of throws. He missed a lot of throws.
There's no way to say it. It was an awful game by Cam.
They were also ill-prepared for the amount of hand activity by the Dolphins' defensive line.
Hand activity always catches me off guard,
It was
too.
Like there was no plan for, okay, are we going to, instead of running checkdowns, because you can't, if a dude is 5'9", you can't check down behind a guy that's 6'6", and you're going to have to run a deeper route so you can loop the ball over. It just didn't make sense from game plan standpoint.
But you know what the biggest reason why I'm going to say that I'm not going to overreact? Again, Cam deserves blame for being a part of this loss.
Sure.
I'm not putting it all or even most on Cam. Because do you know what they did again? When Christian McCaffrey got hurt in the first half.
Second quarter, yep.
In the second quarter. And after the two picks, what did they do again? When they got down by, at that point, it was two scores. What did Joe Brady and the staff do again? They stopped running the ball.
Four times in the second half.
I don't want to be out here saying, what the bleep is Joe Brady doing? I know Joe Brady knows more football than I will ever know. I know Joe Brady is a good... I think Joe Brady has shown moments where he has teased the upside of potential. And I think, quite frankly, the Panthers have dragged Joe Brady down a little bit with the crap that they put out there on the field for him to try make gumbo with. But, like, you've got a quarterback who's having problems getting comfortable in the offense, in this game specifically, who's not being accurate, who's thrown two picks... And you're only down, I'm going to say that again, you're only down 11 points, mm-hmm. and you abandoned the run. Even when you got down 17.
How did you not run Cam?
You knew, yes, thank you. Well, Cam had three carries.
He had none in the second half.
3 carries for 5 yards and a touchdown, all in the first half.
How's that possible?
This gets back to the idea of, I don't know Matt Rhule is definitively the problem, but I do know, whether it's from Dave Tepper to Matt Rhule, and or Matt Rhule to the quarterback position, or Joe Brady to the quarterback position. Like, whatever connective tissue you need as an organization, the Panthers don't have it right now. And going into the final 5 games of this season, mm-hmm. we should have some evidence that there is that connective tissue. Because even though they swapped out quarterbacks, a bulk of this roster has been here for 2 years. A bulk of these guys have either played with Matt Rhule somewhere else or have been in the system now for 28 games. And there doesn't appear to be any synergy between what Matt Rhule says, if he ever says anything, and what happens on the field. And so I ask everybody, I would like to do this. The real question we're asking guys now is, how much of Sunday's loss was on Cam Newton? If you guys want to pitch in, 704-570-9610.
I'll give him 25 to 33%.
I think that's fair. I would give him at most one-third of this loss.
That's the highest I'm willing to go.
But I also think as we have this conversation about Matt Rhule mm-hmm. and whether we should start to look at Matt Rhule differently, I think you and I are there. I also want to know, because we're not just going to come out of Panther Monday just bleeping on the team and that's it. I want to hear from everybody out there. Give me one. It doesn't have to be the fix. Give me a fix for the Carolina Panthers. We asked Willie P this earlier, and he said what I'm going to say now. My simple fix is, and this will not fix everything, but this is one fix. Brady Christensen better start every game from here on out somewhere on the offensive line. I don't care if that's for Dennis Daly. I don't care if that's for Big Boosie. I don't care if that's for, who's the slappy we got a left guard right now? Michael B. Jordan?
No, it's Michael Jordan.
Michael B. Bad Jordan? I don't care where he starts. But when that kid has played, he's played well. And I am done watching slappies play in the place of him.
Okay, so I'm here. Brady Christensen is not the answer. I respect you and Will just want to see it try it consistently.
I didn't say he was going to suddenly they're going to start winning teams, but you need to start doing fixes somewhere. That is a fix I want to see. What fix do you want?
It is something that we can try. I want to come back to this notion, and before I answer that, because I'm seeing it on the text line, and I've had these conversations privately off air as well. I'm not saying that this team has given up on Matt Rhule and staff. I'm not saying that this team doesn't like Matt Rhule and staff. But you can't fool the players, especially the veterans. Daquan Jones and Morgan Fox and Shaq Thompson and Taylor Moten and Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton, Robbie Anderson, dudes that have seen a lot of football, you can't sell them a game plan that they don't believe in. When dudes don't believe in the game plan, that you are creating an advantage to put us in position for my skill set to be illuminated, then I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to take some risks. So if you're asking me what can they change, whatever that trust is, whatever the way that the game plan is being communicated, that's got to be altered. And quite frankly, you're going to need Cam Newton to get caught up. Like, they're going to have to go through this bye week, a crash course on finding a way for it to mesh with what comes natural for Cam. Because without quarterback play, hell, even with stellar quarterback play, Nick, we're too late in the season. They're not going to be able to just magically plug all the holes in the submarine. It's a personnel thing, and I understand you guys saying Brady, but at some point, even if Cam Irvin comes back, they have what they have, and it's just not enough.
I think you and I are talking a little bit differently here. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying make the fix that fixes the whole thing, because I agree with you. There's too many holes in this ship. The ship is going down. All right, it is impossible to predict this team will make the playoffs. That P word's off the table here. What you're trying to avoid is that other P word, the panic. And there are things you can do. And somebody on the text line, here's the second thing. Run the effing ball.
With that offensive line, they can't.
They have, though. They have.
Against who?
No. But the point is, when they've decided they're going to run the ball, they have.
They ran the ball against Atlanta.
They have a 6'4", 6'5", 260-pound quarterback. So you have somebody who can run the ball. You ran him zero times in the second half. This whole thing of behind this offensive line, well, they're worse at pass blocking.
They're about the same. They're equally bad.
So they're awful either way.
I understand your point.
So you have two options. Mm-hmm. You can continue to do the thing where you, more often than not, pass more than you run and you don't win, or you can commit to some semblance of an identity that you've promised the fan base that you were going to do, which is we're going to run the ball and play great defense.
Now, you're onto something here. I can go jumbo. I can do what Miami did to us yesterday. Brady Christensen, you now become the tight end. I'm going to go heavy, go jumbo, and I'm going to use the left side of this line or the right, doesn't make a difference, and I'm going to just start blowing some cats off the ball. And I don't care if we don't get but 2.5 yards on the carry. I'd rather do that 3 times in punt than to be second in the league right now and drop passes, which the Carolina Panthers are.
704-570-9610. The Panthers have lost 7 of 9 games. We have spent the day bashing them. Now the question is, continuing them on the text line, because you guys have done a good job kind of filling in some of the blanks here. Give me one potential fix for the Carolina Panthers. It doesn't have to fix everything, but just some place for Matt Rhule and company to start. Josh, you've been waiting patiently, buddy. Welcome to the show. What do you have for us? What is your one fix?
Man, I don't know if there's a fix for the rest of the year. I think Stan's right. It's too late. But after the year, dude, I blow it up. For me, I'm not keeping anybody on that roster but Brian Burns. I'm not keeping Christian McCaffrey. I'm not keeping Taylor Moten. I'm not keeping anybody on that coaching staff. And the reason I say that is this. In the NFL, you build it for your division. And Brady's got maybe 2, maybe 3 more years in him. If you get a coach and you get some players in there that don't have this, they're not in this culture that's there right now, you know, who knows what Atlanta's going to do? Who knows what New Orleans is going to do? And who knows what Tampa will do when Brady hangs up? This is a division in the next 2 or 3 years that could be yours, but not right now. And I think at this point, you have to start looking another year, two, three down the road. And let's just face it, man, Matt Rule's just not the answer. A lot of these college coaches, they don't understand you're dealing with grown men. You're not dealing with boosters. You're not dealing with people that just want to be in your presence. You're dealing with grown men, and this is their job. And I think Stan hit it on the head, man. These guys, listen, it's just like you and I or anybody else listening at that job. When it gets to the holidays, you start checking out mentally. And even with professional athletes, if they think there's a chance they don't have a shot at the postseason, they're no different than us, man. They're checking out. I blow this ship completely out of the water at the end of the year.
Appreciate you, Josh. Good stuff, man. Happy Panther Monday there. We're going to continue on with this because we got a little bit more time here. Jay and Alan, we're going to carry you over on the other side of this. The question is, give a fix. One thing that the Panthers can do differently over the final five games of the season, coming out of the bye, to try and start changing things. What I will say is, I don't think you need to blow up coaching and the roster. I don't think the roster's a problem.
Oh, the roster definitely has problems.
No. It has problems. But it is not as problematic as it was last year. I think you have some talent. And I think you get the right quarterback or, I don't know, maybe an offensive line. And I think you have a chance to be pretty okay and at least get back to competitive football. Who knows? Maybe even dream of a wild card spot in a realistic way. Give us a fix. Doesn't have to be the fix, but give us a fix for Carolina moving forward. More from you guys next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, final segment of the show. We've got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick to come here, but big thanks to Ross Tucker and Willie P for joining us on today's show. We got plenty to get to yet, but we've been asking you guys for a fix for the Carolina Panthers. We bleeped all over them all day. Matt Rule, I've said what I had to say.
No, I don't want to say we bleeped over them. I'm sorry. I know you got something in mind. Let's be fair to us. We've told the truth. Even the most panthered black and blue goggle, everybody can see what that is on Sundays.
That's fair. So with that in mind, especially as we are headed into bye week, we are asking for a fix. It doesn't have to be it's not going to be the fix that saves the season. That's probably out the barn right now. But give us a fix for the Carolina Panthers over the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, really. And we're going to go through your calls here really quickly here. David, welcome to the show. What's your fix, my guy?
The only fix I really see is I feel like Matt Rule's got to stop treating this team like a college team. Like, we got to go, this is an NFL team. These are pro-caliber players. You can't just keep taking transfers, with air quotes, and trying to fill and plug in your spot. You pick these guys at the beginning of the year because you trusted yourself to them. You need to stick with your men, let it play out. If it don't work out this season, that's fine. But you can't go give all your capital up trying to fix it mid-season, period. It's not going to work like that.
Well, and I think kind of what you just said there, and I thank you for the call, David. I do think who Matt Rule chooses to hold to a high level of standard and who he doesn't is really interesting. He blasted Hassan Reddick, and rightfully so, by the way. Hassan had a stupid penalty, the taunting call that really hurt them. I said earlier on the show that that felt like to me when the game was done.
Especially coming off of you with a loud mouth in the room last week or something.
And then that extended a drive, which ended up...
Four plays later, it's a tug.
Getting 6 points for Miami. But at the same point, he's protected Michael Jordan, who, no offense to Michael personally, he's not a good football player. He's made excuses for Sam Darnold when Sam Darnold was bleeping the bed. If you've made a boo-boo, if you've played really poorly this year, Matt Rule at some point had said something nice about you. Meanwhile, early when the defense was really good, the defense has got to be better. And I understand what he's doing, right? You don't want to kick somebody when they're down. The problem is, if you're not going to kick them to try and motivate them, replace them. I cannot get back to watching the same guys make the same mistakes over and over again and then hear Matt Rhule say, hey, we got to be better. We got to coach these guys better.
How many times has Matt Rhule told us, we're going to get it fixed, we're going to be committed to running the ball, not beating ourselves, playing good defense, we're going to be committed to shaping the identity of what Carolina Panther football should be? We hadn't seen it. Not consistently.
Alan, welcome to the show. What is your fix for the Carolina Panthers?
Okay, the best game we had all year was against the Cardinals. What did we do? We kept them on their toes. We platooned the quarterbacks. Why don't we do something like that? You don't want Cam in there getting hurt. He's going to get hurt eventually. Why don't you just platoon them, and at least you're shaking it up on every other play? It worked. Why did we stop it?
I mean, I definitely think, and I thank you for the call there, I buy into Matt Rhule's explanation for the Cam Washington game that he played so well early, they wanted to stay with a hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
I do buy that. And I also think if you had benched Cam for that two-minute drill at the end of the game, good luck showing your face around town if P.J. Walker had lost you the game in the same way that Cam Newton did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know I can discount what he said. Listen, I think Cam Newton, the more he gets into this offense, I don't expect to see Cam look a lot like we saw on Sunday. That being said, I can't discount a dual quarterback idea. There should be nothing off the table right now. Guy's got to get murked. If that's what it's going to take, murk somebody. Right? If dude's got to get cut, cut people. But they need to do something to just, again, it's less about saving the season. The hay's probably out of the barn there. It's more about, can you get back to being competitive and getting guys to play hard week in, week out? Because three of the last 6 weeks, you've been just run over and run out of your building and other people's building too.
Our boy Scott Fowler has something up in the Observer today. It might have came out actually yesterday, referencing it's something they should try. I'm less likely to believe that Matt Rhule would do that, because if he was going to do that, he would have done that before Cam has all this bye week to digest more of the playbook. If you're going to do it, then you do it early and you stick with it. The bottom line is the players know that P.J. Walker can't play. So rolling P.J. out there, see, when you put Cam out there, you at least believe, even though it's not 2015 Cam, Cam can still have a moment. He still has the pass to McCaffrey versus Washington. He still has the read option keep against Washington. He can still pull one of those plays that at least gives you a chance. When Phillip is in the game, you cannot sell that to a roster. They're not going to believe you. And it doesn't help that Phillip is a Matt Rhule guy. So on the team, it is likely that some of those dudes believe he's only QB2 because he's Matt Rhule's guy.
All right, let's go ahead here and get to the Mark Spain real estate Nick pick. I'm actually going to go. I was thinking about the Hornets there, but we do have Monday night football tonight. We've not made it to Thursday yet, but it is the Seahawks in Washington against the football team here, and the line is even that I'm looking at right now. The over under at 47.5 points. I'm really skeptical that Washington can win three straight. Mostly because I don't think Washington is that good. I don't think they're as good as they've looked the last 2 weeks. That being said,
have you seen Seattle lately?
Seattle has been really, really bad. I'm going to go ahead and take Washington outright here to win over Seattle tonight. And if you do, you will then, I believe, you move into a tie with Philadelphia for second place.
Oh, you mean a team that we lost a tiebreaker to?
In the NFC East.
Oh, you're saying Washington.
You didn't have to make it.
You're saying Washington. Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. This just coming in.
What you got?
From the Panthers website.
What you got?
Christian McCaffrey out for the season.
Broken ankle?
I haven't even clicked into the story.
Are you being serious right now? I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, it is in. Did you put that in both of our DMs there,
Fitty,
or just mine?
No, I see it now.
Willie gave me a call. And I sent you guys the DM.
So, Christian McCaffrey.
Shut down C-Mac as a result of the ankle injury suffered against Miami.
We just had a good moment. We were talking about fixes. Brady Christensen, run the ball.
Chuba Hubbard had one carry
Is it just
in the
me?
Second half yesterday?
Is it just me, or is this the most bipolar season? Like the listen, when you lose, there are often peaks and valleys, but the differences between the peaks and valleys are so significant, right? 3-0 start, you lose 7 of the next 9, right? You lose J.C. Horn, you trade for Stephon Gilmore. Right, you Sam Darnold's a real slappy. You bring Cam Newton back.
Right,
Cam Newton throws two picks. Like, it doesn't even feel like you're like herky jerky isn't the right word, because you're. It's like going from 50,000 feet up in the air to 1,000 feet in the air every other week.
This is going to force, and I said this yesterday on the postgame show when you and I were doing it. This bye week should be about Matt Rhule and his guys getting away, getting your head clear. But you have to come back to the table and go, especially with this news on McCaffrey. Now, in the 2 years that McCaffrey's been available for Matt Rhule, he's been 3-5. So it's not like they've been winning a ton of games in the 10 games that Christian has started and finished. They're 3-5. So this now forces you, what is your offense? With or without McCaffrey, what is the nature of what you're trying to get accomplished offensively?
Joe Brady's about to run to Baton Rouge.
Now, here's the problem. Yeah, Joe Brady, I don't expect Joe Brady to be back. I haven't heard that. I'm not reporting that. I'm just reading the tea leaves. Like, I'm looking at it. Somebody's going to be held to blame here. It was Christian last year and Teddy. Okay, Christian's out most of this year again. You're going to blame Cam? City's not going to let you do that.
You can't really blame Sam either, because you traded for him.
Sam literally is injured, and you let it get to 5 games where he was turning the ball over like that instead of going to get Cam earlier.
So if you guys are just joining us, Christian McCaffrey out for the rest of the season because of the ankle injury sustained on Sunday in the 23-point loss to Miami. We're going to hand off to Kyle Bailey. Kyle, you go ahead and take this away. You go ahead and bring the energy here to town. And we're going to try and spend the next 20 hours recuperating and getting ready for tomorrow's show. Again, big thanks to all our guests, callers, texters, tweeters. You guys, you brought the thunder today. Good job out of you guys. Itty bitty fitty. You were serviceable. You were.
I thought I was A+ work today.
You know what, Fitty? This is the best we've seen from you in a while.
Yeah.
You must have had a good Thanksgiving. Well, no, you didn't.
I went 1-0 today. The Panthers didn't go 1-0, but no. I went 1-0.
You tied today. You tied. Went 0-0-1 today. Good job out of Itty Bitty Fitty. Stan, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Let's do it, Bubba.
All right, guys. Listen, great stuff out of you guys today. Not so much from the Panthers. We'll be back tomorrow. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., Nick for Stan and Itty Bitty Fitty saying stay safe and be good, Charlotte. Shut it down!
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See you later!
Charmed, I'm sure.
That's all, folks.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah.